Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We start recording. And today we're going to talk about the meaning of Surah Al-Fatiha. Can you come over here? No, here. Can you come over here? Here. Between both. Surah Al-Fatiha. How many times do you have to read Surah Al-Fatiha every day? Huh? No. Here. Hold this. How many times you have to read Surah Al-Fatiha every day? Who knows?
Five.
No.
Wait, no.
Can we count how many prayers is Fajr? How many rak'ahs, I'm sorry, is Fajr?
Two.
How many rak'ahs is Dhuhr?
Four.
So two and four is six. Right? How many rak'ahs Dhuhr prayer?
Four.
So that's 10. How many rak'ahs is the Maghrib prayer?
Three.
So that's 13. And how many rak'ahs is the Isha prayer?
Four.
So that's what?
17.
So you read it 17, it is exactly the same thing. You read it 17 times every day. Why is that? Because Allah has loaded into Al-Fatiha with a lot of meanings. Now, you can just say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Rahman Rahim, and you don't understand what's going on. Or you can do it and you understand what's going on. So you can think of it during prayer. Okay, let's start with Bismillah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. That's the first ayah. So, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is part of Surah Al-Fatiha. Is what? Part of Surah Al-Fatiha. This is why in the Quran you find that Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim in Surah Al-Fatiha has a number one. How about the rest of the surahs? Is Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is mandatory at the beginning of the surah? Huh? No. Now there is an ayah that says innahu min Sulaymana wa innahu bismillahi ar-rahman ar-rahim, but that's in the body of the surah. So at the beginning of the surah you don't have to say bismillah ar-rahman ar-rahim unless you say Surah Al-Fatiha. So Surah Al-Fatiha is an ayah in surah, is bismillah ar-rahman ar-rahim is an ayah in surah, huh? Al-Fatiha. Okay, ayah number one. Good job. Okay, so now how about the rest of the surahs? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, is it part of the surah? No, exactly. Okay, how about why do we say it if it's not part of the surah? It is sunnah. Sunnah, you know what sunnah means?
Actions of the Prophet.
Yes. It's sunnah to read Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim before the sunnah. Now, this is if you start from the beginning. How about if you start from the middle somewhere, not from the beginning of the surah? Do you say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim?
No.
No, what do you say?
Discontinue.
No, start reading from the middle of some surah. Do you say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim?
No.
What do you say? You say, "A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim," and then you go. So, if you do Surah Al-Hadid, for example, you say, "Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim." If you read from the beginning, if you read somewhere from the middle, you say, "A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim," and then you start going. Now, there is a surah in the Quran where it is wrong to say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. There is one surah in the Quran where Allah is so angry. Okay? And this surah, we can't. It is forbidden. We can't say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim before this surah. So you start A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim and then you start the surah. Which surah is that? Surah number 9, which is called Surah Al-Tawbah. Surah number, yes, now you remember. Tawbah. Why is that? Because Allah is so angry and Allah is so harsh in it, so harsh on the bad guys. He was really angry at them. And the surah, you know, shows how angry is Allah. So you don't stay, you don't say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It's not appropriate for this surah. Okay. Now, if you lead the prayer, is it sunnah that you say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim loudly before saying Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen?
No.
No, exactly. Okay? So, when you say, when you start surah in the Quran, in the prayer, you say Allahu Akbar, and then you say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So you say Bismillah Rahman Rahim quietly. Allahu Akbar. Of course, after the dua, Subhanakallahumma bihamdik wa tabaraka ismuk wa ta'ala jadduk wa la ilaha ghayruk. After that, you say Bismillah Rahman Rahim. Quietly or loudly?
Quietly.
Let's say if you're reading two surahs, like قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. So you say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You don't say that. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And then you come to the surah. So Surah Al-Falaq, you say قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. Okay, and you finish the surah. And then when you come at the end, you start Surah Al-Nas, you say قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ. You understand? Understand that? So it's not loud. Some people just start Allahu Akbar, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. That's not the sunnah. Okay? Alright. So now, what is Bismillah? When the president say, in the name of the American people. So, Bismi American people. In the name of American people means Bi-ism American people. So, huh? Yes, but what's the meaning of in the name of the American people? If you say, if the president says, in the name of American people, we're not going to let this happen. What's in the name of the American people mean? Huh? Okay, in the name of the American people means that I'm speaking on their behalf. They authorized me to speak on their behalf. So, who is authorized to speak on the behalf of the American people? The president. Okay? So, Bismillah means, in the name of Allah who authorized me. You got it? So, in the name of the American people means, in the name of the American people who authorized me to speak on their behalf. So, Allah is saying, Bismillah, in the name of Allah, who gave me authority, okay, over everything, I mean, not everything, many things, which are plants and animals and things like that. And then, in the name of Allah, that Allah give me permission to recite His book. If Allah doesn't give us permission to recite His book, Quran, can we? No. So, in the name of Allah, who gave me the authority to read His Quran. Did Allah give us the authority? Yes, He gave us the authority. Actually, He's asking us to read His Quran. So, also it says, in the name of Allah who gave me what I have. In the name of Allah who gave me what I have. So, in the name of Allah general means authorization. Allah's authorizing us to read His book, to have authority over animals and things like that, and plants, and to give me what I have. Okay? And recite His book. Give me the authority to recite His book. Got it? Okay. Now, what is Ar-Rahman? Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Remember, we talked about this before. What's the difference between Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim? Ar-Rahman is the one who provides benefits to people who deserve it in this life, to the ones who deserve it and the one who doesn't deserve it. So Rahman means what? The one who provides benefits, huh?
To the people in this life.
To the people who deserve it and
don't deserve it.
So this has happened in this life. In this life, Allah gives benefits to the ones who deserve it and the ones who don't deserve it. How about in the life after? So Allah in this life is Rahman. Is what? Rahman. Why? Because He gives benefits to everybody. Okay? How about in the Day of Judgment?
He gives benefits to people who deserve it.
Exactly. Only the people who deserve it, only the people who deserve it, get the benefits in the Day of Judgment, which is the mercy of Allah. Do you remember that? So, Ar-Rahman, what's the difference between Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim? Huh? Here. Mubashir. Huh? You need to pay attention, Mubashir. You need to be looking at me so that, you know, you don't doze off. Okay. So, in the name of Allah, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, is the among the 99 names of Allah. By the way, does Allah have only 99 names?
No.
No, exactly. So, how many names Allah has? Infinite number of names. Okay? But the 99 names are the ones relevant to us. So, the 99 names is the one that relates to us. There are other names for Allah that we don't know because it's not relevant to us. So, Ar-Rahman is the name of Allah among the 99. Ar-Rahim among the 99 as well. Can I call somebody Rahman? That's an exception. So, you can't call someone either Rahman or Ar-Rahman. Can I call anybody Rahim? Yes. Brother Rahim, Sister Rahima, you know? I can call people Rahim. Can I call people Ar-Rahim?
No.
No. So, Rahman is a special because you can't call people Rahman. You can't. And if you name yourself a Rahman, Allah will be angry because that's not possible. That's not the name to be used. Okay. So other than that, you say Al-Kareem, Kareem. Yes, I can have the name Kareem. Al-Aziz, Aziz. Yes, I can have the name Aziz. But Ar-Rahman, I can't have the name Rahman. Because...
Rahman.
Yes. Rahman, you can't get the name Rahman. That's one special thing about name Rahman. It can't be for everything. Okay. The Prophet says, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, any deeds you do without saying Bismillah is incomplete. So what do you think the meaning is? Anything that does not start with Bismillah is incomplete. Can you think of reasons? Can you think of reasons? Can you think of reasons? Okay. So when you drive your car without saying Bismillah, would your car arrive safely to the destination?
Maybe,
that's right. Even though you said Bismillah. Okay, if you eat food without saying Bismillah, wouldn't that food fill your tummy? It will, okay. So then what do you mean by incomplete? Why did the Prophet say it's incomplete? Anything that starts with the name of Allah is incomplete. Can you think of a reason? So if you wash the dishes In the name of Allah, you say Bismillah, and then you wash the dishes. Okay. Does not that incomplete means that you are not going to be able to finish washing the dishes? The answer is no. Incomplete means you get the benefit in this life, but you don't get the benefits of the hereafter. You understand? So when you say in the name of Allah and drive the car, you get the benefit, okay, of driving the car in the day of judgment, in this life and in the day of judgment. Okay? So if you say Bismillah before you eat, then you get the benefit of eating in this life and in the hereafter, next life. Can we get this one away from here? Okay? So when the Prophet says any deed that does not start with Bismillah is incomplete, meaning that you get the benefit of this deed in this life and not in the hereafter, because it's incomplete. How about if it's complete? When you say Bismillah, it means you get the benefit in this life and in the next life. In the next life, you get hasanat. So if you say Bismillah and start eating, then you get the benefit of this life, which is, you know, filling up your tummy, but you don't get the benefit in the hereafter, which is having hasanat for eating halal food. You understand that? You understand? Okay. Now, also, if you use the name Bismillah, it will work like an alarm against evil deed. Okay? If you used to say Bismillah, it will alarm you. For example, if you used to say Bismillah before drinking, and then you have a wine, you know, a glass of wine, are you going to Bismillah and drink it? Doesn't make any sense, right? So if you're used to Bismillah, it will be an alarm for you if you try to do something bad. Okay? It would be funny. So it's like a thief before stealing says Bismillah. No. So Bismillah works as an alarm. When the thief remembers and says Bismillah, then the thief is going to be ashamed of himself and return without stealing. It also reminds you that Allah is watching you. When you say Bismillah, you remember that Allah is watching you. Okay? So it brings the memory, it brings to your memory or to your heart the feeling of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. Alhamdulillah is foundation of Islam. What is the meaning of Alhamdulillah?
All praise to Allah.
All praise to Allah. Alhamdulillah means all praise to Allah. This is the foundation of Islam, because Islam is built on Alhamdulillah. Islam is built on Alhamdulillah. Okay? Islam is built on Alhamdulillah. So Rabb al-Alameen, Rabb. What's the meaning of the word Rabb? Anybody knows? Rabb. Anybody knows what's the meaning of the word Rabb? Okay. Rabb means owner or lord. So for example, I say, you are Rabb al-Car. Rabb of the car means your owner of the car. If somebody tells you, you are Rabb the home, you are the owner of the home. You can also say Lord. You are Rabb the nation. So a king owns the nation. So you are Rabb the nation. Okay? So Rabb means Lord. Lord, which means owner of something. So Allah says, Rabb العالمين. When Allah says Rabb, means Allah is our owner and we are His slaves. Allah is the owner of us. Allah is the owner of our food. Allah is the owner of our water. Allah is the owner of our breathing air. Allah is the owner of our food. Allah is the owner of everything. Rabb, Rabb. How about Al-Alameen? Al-Alameen is not world. Al-Alameen is worlds. Why Allah saying Al-Alameen, worlds, instead of world? He didn't say Alhamdulillah, Rabb Al-Alam. Alhamdulillah, Rabb Al-Alam. Rabb Al-Alam means the owner of the world. Why is it the owner of the worlds? Why is it plural in Surah Al-Fatiha? Huh? Because, do we have only one world? No. We have multiple worlds. Okay. Let's say the world of angels, the world of insects, the world of humans, and also other worlds of that we don't know. The world of Malaika, angels, the world of Satans. So Allah, the owner of all these worlds. Allah is the owner and the creator of all these worlds. Owner means we receive orders from who? Allah. We are the owners and He is the owner and we are the slaves. So, if you are my owner and I'm your slaves, then you order me, you command me to do things, and I have to do it. Exactly. Like, if your owner tells you, okay, you go now and wash the dishes. Mubashir. So the owner can give you orders. Do this, do that. Okay? So that's the owner of the world. Okay? Owner of you can command you. So you become his slave. So being Allah is your Rabb means that you are his slave. We are, he tells us, what is halal and what is haram? What are the do's and the don'ts? How come Allah can give us these? How come Allah is providing us with list of haram and halal and do's and don'ts? Because He is our
protector,
our Rabb, our Lord, our Rabb, and we are His
slaves.
And we are His slaves. Exactly, He is our Rabb. And we are his slaves. He owns us, the air we breathe, the water we drink, the food we eat, the home we live in, and the land we walk in, which is his earth. We receive orders from him. He tells us what is halal and what's haram. All of these are implied in the name of a road, in the name Rabb. And he assigned us tasks. And he wants us to do the tasks. So he assigns us tasks. Can you give me examples? Helping the needy. What else? Doing the prayer. Right? These are tasks assigned to us by who? Allah. Fast Ramadan, it's a task. Right? Ziyad? Okay. It's a task. Okay? Okay. Now also Rabb means that he will judge our performance. Like we did well, he's the one who's going to judge us because we are his slaves. So he say you did well, you didn't do well. Okay? So he judges our performance. How come? Because he's our Lord and we are his slaves. So, he will reward us for the good deeds and he will punish us for the bad deeds. I'll give you an example. If two slaves are owned by a master and this master gives them freedom for 3 days, and give them the car and $5,000. And this God, this Lord says, okay, I want you to use the money and the time and the car to do Hajj, to do go to Mecca and do Hajj. One good person is going to take the money, the car, the time, 3 days to do Hajj. Okay? Another slave is going to take the money, but instead of going to Mecca, he goes to Las Vegas. I'm Mubashir, he goes to Las Vegas. And instead of spending the money, oh. So, when you come back, you have to answer questions to this Lord. If you don't go back to your Lord, he's going to send who to get you?
Angel of death.
Would Allah Ray treat both the ones who did it and the ones who didn't do it? Will he treat them both the same?
No.
Would that be wise?
No.
Okay. This would be the worst thing any judge can do. It's to make equal the bad guys and good guys, to make them equal. Just think of it. If you have a king, okay, and this king will make equal the good guys and the bad guys, would you say that he's a smart king or stupid king? Stupid king. Because people don't have something to deter them from doing crimes and things like that. So he also made us his representatives on earth. How do we be the representatives of Allah on earth? It means that when people look at us, they remember Allah. Why? Because Allah is merciful and wants us to be merciful. Allah is kind and he wants to be
kind.
Allah is almighty and he wants us to be aha, smart. He's smart. I tricked you guys. Can we call anybody? Can we represent the name of Allah,
no,
the Mighty? Yes. Why is that? Because this is one of the attributes or names of
greatness.
Mashallah. So we can't do names of greatness, but names of beauty, which is the manners of Allah. He is Wadud, seeking the love of his slaves, okay? And Allah wants us to be Wadud. Allah covers the shame of people, and he wants us to cover the shame of people, okay? Okay. Now, when you say Rabb, when we say Rabb, let's say you have two Rabs, two Lords. What happens to you if you have two Lords? You'll be torn apart between this Lord and that Lord. This Lord would tell you something, the other Lord tell you something else. So this Lord tells you, okay, you can go now, and the other Lord tells you, no, you can't go now. So you will be torn between them. So this is why it's good to have one Rabb. One Rabb. So that we have only one master. And we know how to please that master, Mubashir. Okay? So we know how to please this master. What happens, Mubashir, if we have more than one God? You will be torn apart between the will of one God or the orders of one God versus the orders of the second God. And that's why it's a privilege that we have only one Rabb. Now, the people, the people who made up gods, you know, the people who made up gods, like like making statues and say, these statues are God or middle gods or middle guys between us and God. So basically they say Allah is too big to know about us. It's too big for us to get his attention. So what do? We build a statue, and this statue will be the connection between God and us. Okay? So this statue, okay, is being treated the way Allah is to be treated. So when you pray to the statue. When you ask the statue. Okay? So that's the meaning of worshiping another God. Okay? Now, go ahead. Yes. Why this is any the people who invented the idea of more than one God, they made that to take advantage of you. They made that to take advantage of what? Take advantage of who? Of you. Take advantage of you. How? How is that? By making a middle God, and you have to sacrifice to the middle God, who gets the sacrifice? The guardians of the middle gods. So they get into the relationship between you and Allah to take advantage of you. Do we need anything, anybody to have a relationship with Allah? Do we need anybody? Does Allah know about us? Does he know your name? Does he know your name? Does he know how many brains in your, how many cells in your brain? Yeah. Okay, how about here? Yeah. So, how about if a leaf is falling in the middle of the jungle, in the dark night, would Allah know about it?
Yes.
How come?
Allah knows everything.
Okay. But why would he know? Why would he want to know about a leaf falling from a tree in the middle of the jungle, in the middle of the dark jungle? Why does he want to know about this? Any ideas? He knows about this because he is the one who made it happen. Who is the one that has been making it happen? So, can I say Allah doesn't know what he's doing?
No.
So, if Allah will make the leaf fall down from the tree, okay, and he doesn't know about it, that's impossible. Why? Because he is the one who made it happen and he knows what he's doing. Could the leaf fall by itself? No. It's falling because Allah has in his knowledge that this tree is going to, this leaf is going to fall from the tree. So for anything to exist, all what it has to be, mubashir, for anything to exist, okay, it just exists. If it exists in the knowledge of Allah, then it will exist in reality. Okay? If it does not exist in the knowledge of Allah, then it doesn't exist. Okay? So basically, the middle gods, people are making middle gods to take advantage of you. Because I'm going to be the middle guy. Who is the middle guy? The priest of the idol, or the middle god. Okay? And or the custodians of the middle god, or the clergy of the middle god. They get into you, between you and relationship with Allah, to take advantage of you. For example, if you want to confess and seek mercy, do we have to do like our cousin Christians go and they make confession to the priest? So that they sit in one room and the priest sits in another room, and then the priest tells them, okay, what do you want to do? What did you do once to be forgiven? He tells them, okay, I did this and that and this and that. Then the priest says, let's say for example, okay, donate like $500 to the church, and God will forgive you. For example, Mubashir. Okay? So, do we have to confess to anybody? We can confess to who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we don't confess to anybody, we confess to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Directly or indirectly?
Directly.
When you talk to Allah directly, does He hear you? Yes. Okay? Just make you sure when you talk to Allah Mubashir, make sure that your heart is present. Meaning that you're conscious of what you're doing. You're conscious of what you're doing. You're cautious of what you're doing. Or you're conscious of what you're doing. Okay? So some people say, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Rahman, Rahim, and they are dozing off. Okay? So is that what Allah, the kind of remembrance that Allah accepts? No. You have to be conscious about it. Okay? All right. Now, Rabbil Alameen is the owner of all worlds. This would rule out the possibility of anything existing other than our world. So, says that if Allah's the Lord of one world, which is our world, then who is the Lord of the angels' world? So that's why he said Rabbul Alameen. He didn't say Rabbul Alam. What's the difference between Rabbul Alameen and Rabbul Alam?
Alam is world and Alameen is world.
That's right. So Allah's telling you that any other world, He is the Lord of this world already. So when you please Him, okay, He is the owner of all the worlds. So you don't have to worry about another world that's out of the control of Allah. So is it possible for any world to exist without the will of Allah? No. See? So when He tells you Rabbul Alameen, means that all kind of worlds, angels, jinn, shaitan, animals, insects, He's the Lord of all of them. So when you follow Him, He will protect you from all of them. He is the one, He's the one in control of all these worlds. Because you might say, if Allah is in control of only this world, which is like us, our world, then who is the control of other worlds? So by saying Rabbil Alameen, this means that He is the Lord of the other world, He's the Lord of other worlds, and there is nothing to worry about. Because other worlds are not going to hurt you because they are all under the control of Allah. Nothing is out of control. Okay. Malik, which is Malik Yawm al-Din. And in another narration, So people who read Hafs, they say Malik Yawm al-Din. People who read, for example, Warsh, they say Malik Yawm al-Din. So they both, Malik and Malik. Both of them are for two ways of read the ayah. Malik and Malik. So let's start with Malik. Malik, yes. I'm sorry. Malik. What's the meaning of Malik? What's the meaning of Malik? The owner, right? Malik means the owner. Okay. Malik is the highest level of owner and control. Malik is the highest level of owner and control. Got that? Okay. How about Malik? Malik means king. So One narration says he's the owner, and another relation says he's the king. Both of them are correct, and both of them complement each other. Okay? So both meanings are true. If you say Maliki Yawm al-Din, it's true. If you want to Maliki Yawm al-Din, it's true. Okay? So now, okay. So why would Allah say he is Malik or Malik Yawm al-Din? You know why Yawm al-Din? The day of judgment. So Yawm al-Din is the day of judgment. Why does it say that Allah is Malik Yawm al-Din? Because he is the owner and the king of the day of judgment. How about, this raises an important question. Isn't Allah Malik every day and every time and everywhere?
Yeah.
Yeah. So then why is he saying Malik Yawm al-Din only? Why does he say Malik Yawm al-Din? Even though he's Malik everything. He owns everything. Huh? Huh? Basically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from our perception, from our knowledge, from what we see in this life, or what do we believe in this life. You see that in this life there are kings, right? And those kings rule, and sometimes they fight with each other over things. Okay? So, Malik Yawm al-Din, it means in our perception, okay, he is obviously the Lord of the Day of Judgment. But in this life, from our perception, there are other kings and there are other lords. Okay? So Allah wants to say, in this life, if you see kings and lords in this life, okay, in the Day of Judgment, you will see no kings and no lords except Allah. Got it? Got it? So he's Malik every time, everywhere. And he's Malik every time, everywhere. However, from our perception as humans, we see other kings and other lords. Other kings and other
lords.
Okay? That's from our perception. So Allah is saying, in our perception in the Day of Judgment, you will see no other lords, no other owners, okay? No other king except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. So, Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Do you notice something here? Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. So, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim is repeated twice. It's repeated twice. At the beginning of the ayah, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, and at the end of the ayah. I'm sorry, in the beginning of the surah, which is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, and then in ayah number 3. Yeah, ayah number 3. How come Allah is repeating Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim again, saying it in ayah number 1 and again in ayah number 3? Can you think of any reason that Allah is repeating Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim? Okay, inshallah, we'll start this next time, inshallah. Yeah, you're dismissed.